Hey, look what we have found. A big sound in a small town. Far away from the bright lights. They're making music every night. Discover what is all around. A big sound.
A big sound.
Listening to Big Sound Small Town with Sandy Carlton.
Yeah. Hello, my name is Justin Radford. I'm 36 years old. I grew up around here in Rutherford and Cleveland County. I've been playing piano since I was 5 years old, and just honored to Sandy asked me to come on the show and talk to you guys a little bit about what I do in the music realm around here. Like I said, I've been playing piano for over 30 years now.
All right. So that has always been your instrument of choice?
Yes. I mean, I played drums in high school.
Right.
But I started playing piano by ear when I was a
kid. Oh, really?
Kid.
Oh. Oh, everybody else is usually the other way. You know, I had a teacher, started off with a teacher, so that's good. I mean, that's excellent, actually, because you developed the ear.
Yeah.
So did you get formal lessons at some point?
When I turned around 14 years old, I started learning how to read.
Right.
And I studied with a lady named Chiquita Collins in Rutherford County, and she taught me how to read chord charts.
Yeah, well, chord charts are good to read.
And put melodies with it.
Yeah, that's good then. That's actually, that's pretty unique. I mean, particularly with keyboard players, most of the ones I know come up through, you know, we take our lessons and then at some point we learn to improvise on our own, or, you know, we got a teacher that helps us learn to improvise, because there is a lot of difference between, more so with piano players and violinists usually, in playing by ear or being able to improvise, because, you know, the way classical music's set up, it's all about emulation. You know, you want to play exactly like the person who wrote it. You know, there's no variation to it. This is the way it was meant to be. This is how you do it. And usually you find those people have a hard time improvising.
Oh, yeah.
But I like the method that you've taken to do that. I mean,
yeah, I never play anything the same way twice.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that makes it easy for you to work, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
So it's I see you're kind of in demand. You do the funeral thing too, right?
Yeah. Yes. I ended up going to college at UNC Asheville, and I studied jazz piano there.
Oh, so you did wind up taking it too?
I did wind up taking it too. I have a degree in music.
Oh.
So.
Well, you did. You got the whole deal going on.
I play by ear, and then I read at the same time.
So. I can read, but I prefer not to. I mean, if it's going to cost me a job, I can read.
Mm-hmm.
The more I do it, the better. I mean, it's like anything. The less often I read, the more I have to study at it, actually. Because I'll play upright bass, and sometimes I've had jobs where I've had to read with that, you know. And it's like, uh-oh, you know, this is like, I'm terrible at sight reading on the spot, but you give me, you know, a couple of days to go home and read the music, then we're fine. So.
Yeah. I also teach elementary music.
Oh, that's great.
For County. My job is to introduce little ones to music, and that's –
well,
I love doing that.
I do understand that. I will be doing work here next week at the Scruggs Center with children coming and introducing them to music. I like to do that. And I also am a big, and I bring them on here, I'm a big advocate for young musicians.
Mm-hmm.
I like them when they're starting out, help them get a start. I'm pretty proud of some of the people that have come on here and got a start and are doing well. You know, all they needed was a little audience and a little experience. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty cool mission you got going on. I got a grandson who is graduating from UNC Asheville.
Oh, wow.
But he went on a soccer scholarship. He's played soccer there 4 years, and he's going to graduate, I guess it's May. So I think he's ready to be graduated.
Beautiful campus.
It is. It is. It's a nice little campus. I think everybody would love to stay and live in Asheville, but you know how expensive Asheville is.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I came home after school. I came home.
Yeah. I mean, I can't blame you there. I mean, it's hard. A lot of good music there, though. Oh,
yeah.
Oh man, there's a lot of good music there. A lot of good musicians. So did you start out pretty quickly playing with bands, or were you doing the basic, you know, piano stuff there for a while?
Well, I started out. My first gig, I was 14. I played it at Ryan's.
Oh,
we used to have
Yeah.
And I played Christmas music by ear, and I couldn't read anything yet.
Right.
I just sat up in the lobby and would play. And when Five East used to be here in Shelby,
right?
I played piano there for 2 years every weekend on Friday and Saturday nights, and that's kind of how I got my start. I was doing the solo stuff, weddings, funerals,
sure,
stuff like that, and church,
right?
And
well, that's where I was going. I because generally piano players get themselves associated with the church.
I lead worship at two churches.
Well, that's about right too. I mean, church musicians that I know generally is I run two. You know, I know another musician right now that does that. So
So I'm essentially eat, breathe, and sleep music.
Yeah,
and have for years and years and years. So
that's good, dude. So tell me about when you had to start playing with people. Was that a little difficult transition?
Somewhat, but being in band in high school kind of helped.
That does help. Yes, I agree. And that's something that a lot of musicians, I think, miss doing, you know, and they miss out a big part of learning to play with people, really knowing more when not to play as opposed to when to play. Everybody knows when to play, but, you know.
When not to play.
When not to play is about the most important musical gift you can be given, you know. I mean,
well, there's music in the silence as well.
There is music in the silence. Yeah, I agree. That's a great. I like that because there is. I mean, yeah, I like that. That's good. So how did you get with Black Coffee?
We were in an 18 piece. Well, when everyone was there, it was an 18 piece big band in the city called Old 74.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I was playing keys, and Chris, our singer, was playing bass. And Cornelius was playing trombone.
Trombone, yeah.
And they already had a band, or they were trying to get a band put together.
Right.
It was going to be like a 5 or 6 piece band. And they asked me about playing with them. And I said, sure. So we rehearsed a couple times and never really got any gigs, and nothing really ever came out. So the three of us just decided to make a trio.
Sure.
So we did, and we got our first gigs around here. I mean,
right.
We were the first band that ever played at Newgrass.
Yeah.
Dragonfly, and we'd go down to Gastonia and play some.
Yeah. I mean, you've got a really unique sound. And then once you added the horn to it, then it just double uniqued it. You know, I mean, I mean, it's cool. I mean, you only get people doing that. They're only people even close to doing what you're doing. I mean, I'm surprised y'all don't work farther from home than what you do.
Well, we did. We were younger and didn't have a lot.
Well, I do. Yeah, I do understand that. Yeah. Because it is a cool thing that you guys have going on. I mean, and your song selections, they're all over the board too, you know?
Yeah, we decided we didn't want to be, you know, we like that jazzy, bluesy sound,
right.
But we wanted to be able to incorporate that into just about any style.
And you pretty well have. I mean, it's a, it's a, You guys are my favorite local band, and I say that because I'm hooked up to just about every local band around. Mm-hmm. But it's what you do that is so different than everyone else, you know? Plus, I think you're just a marvelous keyboard player, okay. You know? This town is, as far as playing out, mm-hmm. lacks in keyboard players.
I've not met many.
And there's the early piano player around here, and I worked the polls at early voting, and I saw probably the first piano man around here, a guy named Grayson Sane.
I've met Grayson.
You've met Grayson? Mm-hmm. Strange guy, but a fabulous keyboard player. Yep. He used to do, when he first came to town, I think he played at every place that had food. He played at a place called Satterfield's for years and years. I mean, he's just a really good keyboard player. I played in a band with him one time. He's just really good. Also, Scott Sanders. You know Scott?
I've heard the name.
Scott plays keyboards at Coyote Joe's.
Oh, okay.
Now, he will work around here. You will see him working as a guitarist, sometimes playing with Nikeo Wallace.
Yeah. Oh, I know Nikeo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Cornelius. I love Cornelius. I am not Nikeo Wallace.
And you'd be surprised how many gigs we've gotten that on. Like people think they're the same.
Come up and say, I mean, they don't even look alike.
No.
And they don't even drum alike.
No.
I mean, you know, but I think that's funny. I mean, hey, it's not a bad person to be confused with, though.
No, not at all. No.
I mean, it'd be better than being confused with Sandy Carlton.
Yeah.
So, but that's about it. That's you and Scott are about the only one that I know of. I know another fabulous keyboard player, a guy named Jerry Brittany. Jerry plays with Ashton Smith and what's their band called? Maybe the Ace Party Band. He is really good. He has a side job, too, where he works for Genesis Funeral Home, where he does the funeral services for him. And he has the he's got the gospel service down. I mean,
yeah.
You know, that's an art form in itself. I mean, I don't know. You would have to be – most people have no idea – or most of the people listening to my podcast have no idea of black funerals, but there is a order in a just a special musical thing to those that is just you have to learn it. It's not something that you just I mean, and keyboards are a big part of that. Keyboards and organs are a big part. And then, of course, do you know Richard Putnam?
Richard Putnam.
He runs a studio here.
Yes, I've heard the name.
Richard is one fine keyboard player. He has worked all over the South. But that's about it. We're looking at we just covered everybody that does it out. You know, there's a lot of fabulous players in churches.
Oh, yeah.
But that's just about everybody that plays it around here. You know, so that's pretty good. Which do you enjoy most, your solo deal when you're the piano guy or the band deal?
It's always more fun to play with people.
It is more fun. I agree.
It can be somewhat intimidating to play alone.
Oh, it is. I do it a lot too, but I always would rather have people to play with. I don't really. It's intimidating because you're the only one, you know, and if you, it's all on you, you know.
Yeah.
Your mistakes, everything is all on you, so it is hard. Do you, like when you're doing your piano man down there on Wednesdays, do you get you a difference? Do you have a sit list or do you just play whatever comes to your mind?
I play whatever.
Comes to your mind at time, whatever fits for what's going on down there at the time.
And sometimes I'll get a request on the spot,
yeah.
And I'm like, What's cool about that is I'm attempting songs that I've probably have no business attempting. But it's cool to figure out what I can do.
Right, it is. I agree. I agree. You ever get stumped on a deal like that?
I have twice now, and I can't even remember the name of the tunes, but it was some very obscure something that I'd never heard before. And I was like, but I'll look it up, and I do. Sometimes I go home and
I'll when learn. Somebody asks.
Yeah.
I mean, I have done that before. People have requested, and I don't even – you know, there's a thing where if somebody's putting money in there, a tip to, for me to do something, and I know the song, but I may not be in my repertoire or nothing, but I know it, I'll attempt it. Mm-hmm. But then when somebody just brings you something that you don't even know, have never heard of, it's like, I can't do nothing with it. I don't know what to do. You know, I don't even know the song, but I'm like you. Once somebody puts that on you, you got to go look it up just for your own curiosity. You know,
God for the internet.
Yeah, really. Yeah, really.
You can pull up chord charts.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Yeah, yeah. That is a good thing. I mean, yeah, technology. I know a lot of people hate it with, in a lot of ways, but it's so much easier for a musician to learn today than it was, even probably when you started. You know.
Oh, I remember carrying bags full of books and gigs, and now everything's in an iPad.
Sure, yeah.
There's like 1,000, I have like 1,000 songs in an iPad.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I know like even DJs. I remember I have a friend, and it's all musical, but he was a beach music DJ, and he used to have to carry almost a truckload of records. You know, now he's got a zip drive with everything on it. He can do his DJ mix and just, you know, slide it in and go, which is totally different. And then I see like Red Crayon's going to be down there tonight, and I see Todd Yelton.
Yeah.
So he's going to scratch old style down there, but that's pretty rare these days. And even his is more digital than it was when he started. You know, so it is really technology wise, we're in a golden age. I used to have to carry a 150-pound bass rig. You know, now I carry 20-pound bass cabinet and a 2 or 3 pound head, and it sounds as good as my 150-pound Ampeg and another 50 pounds for the head. So I mean, technology's good. I guess with keyboards. So what do you? You have a go-to that you carry?
A couple years ago, I purchased a Yamaha CP-88.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's got wooden keys on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the action's great. And it's more piano-based.
Yeah, sure.
They have a YC, which is more organ stuff, and I don't do. But I love the electric piano sounds.
Yeah, electric piano sounds are cool. I guess it has them all in there, too. Oh, yeah. The keyboards are pretty amazing these days, but I guess those keys are touch sensitive too. I mean, they're not the junk ones where you know.
Yeah, I mean,
it plays just like a piano.
And that's what I crave is like I want it to feel like a
piano. Yeah. Do you run that straight into an amp of some type, or you just put it in a board?
I usually run it if I'm playing out. I just have a rolling keyboard amp. If the place doesn't have a system or something. I also have a small PA that I can carry as well, but usually, like here at the Dragonfly, Jamie has his own.
He does. So. I mean, that's another thing, too. I love to play places that have their own equipment so you don't have to carry it. The sound equipment now is small and easy compared to what it used to be, but I still like places that have their own stuff.
I love it when I walk into a place and there is a piano.
Real piano in there.
And like then I have to go test it because if it's not in tune, I have to go get the keyboard out of the truck.
Sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's funny. So there's an instrument of every type in this Earl Scruggs Center but a piano, which is the weirdest thing in the world. But I don't know how you get it up here, really. But there should be an electronic piano up here of some type.
I agree.
You know, I have to take that up, Mary Beth. There needs to be an electronic. You know Jackson.
Oh, yeah, I've played with Jackson.
Yeah. So
fine saxophone.
Oh, he is. Of course, he can't. He's got too many other irons in the fire to play these days. But sometimes I get on him about playing, and he needs to come out and play. Because I Mardi Gras every year I do a Mardi Gras show, and every year I want horns. You know, I try to get Cornelius. I try to get Jackson. Actually, a girl that I play music with, and I play with her dad, Madison Bridges. She played saxophone at North Carolina State all through college. She was in the marching band. I try to get her to do it, and she said, "Well, you know, I'd have to work on my own. You know, I don't play it anymore. I'm a guitar player and songwriter now. So, but I love horns. I love big bands. You know, I love that stuff.
Madison's dad is a fun.
He is. I played a lot of music with him over the years, and he is. But I'm going to tell you, she's a better writer. She's going somewhere if she wants to go. You don't know how much somebody wants to go, but she's very talented. She is one of the most talented young songwriters I've heard in a pretty good while. But yeah, I mean, apple don't fall far from a tree. Kevin's really good. He's a real good writer, real good singer. So, you know. And Kevin, I actually said something nice about you for a change. So, so.
Hey, Amy always hires his wife always hires us to play Christmas music for the carriage rides and down in Forest City.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Oh yeah,
that's a cold gig.
That is a cold gig. That is a cold gig. Yeah. So I guess you have all kind of irons in the fire then.
Yeah.
Guess you work all the time.
I'm at three schools, I'm at two churches, and I gig with Black Coffee, and I solo gig, and sometimes I see my wife. And
yeah, it's like, the only reason I could tear this away is it's a Saturday morning, you know. You got a really cool story. It's, you ever want to be anything else than a musician? That's great.
I mean, it's scary as a musician.
Yeah, it's scary.
When you're younger, you think, you know, well, I'm good at this, but there's a million other people that's good at this as well, you know. Yeah. Like, so what am I going to do with this? And you find a way. Like, I got into education because when I graduated college, I'm like, what am I going to do with a performance degree?
Right, yeah.
So I took a job as a teacher. So
yeah.
Realized I love working with children. So
that's good.
Lateral entry. I took a few more education courses.
Sure.
Got my teaching license.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the, you know, that's good. And I still believe that if you want to accelerate your learning, that no matter what instrument you play, you need to find a teacher. That's the fastest way to get problems corrected that you've developed, to learn stuff, to learn theory. I mean, you generally a lot of times you're not going to get that on your own.
No.
I mean, theory. Everybody makes theory sound more scary and more complex than it is, but I mean, there is a bit of magic to it.
Yeah.
But you know, it's very accessible at you know, the next level above beginner than you think it is.
We just use big words to describe simple things. I mean,
I think we do. I think, you know, harmony is, you know, teaching people about harmony in itself is, you know, people don't want to learn because it seems complicated. But, you know, it's not that hard.
Yeah.
Same way with timing. It's one of the things that bothers me about school these days is kids come up with no sense of timing. I mean, they can't count music. A metronome is a bad thing these days, you know?
You should see a bunch of five-year-olds trying to keep a steady beat. It's crazy.
Oh, I'm sure. You should see a bunch of adults trying to keep a steady beat.
Friends don't let friends clap on one and three.
True. This is true. That's correct. Because, people devaluate, I think, the importance of music in education, particularly. Marching bands these days are minimal. There used to be huge productions. You get a homecoming parade, or you get a tiny little band these days where you used to, you have a Christmas parade and you have five or six huge marching bands.
Yeah. Now, if you have 30, you're lucky.
Oh, you're really lucky. Yeah. I've seen over the years know a lot of really fine musicians that were part of the band at some point, either in middle school or high school. So I think it is. And I think the earlier you learn music, the easier it is for the rest of your life.
Well, the cool thing about what I did in school was I played drums because I couldn't read pitches, but I could read rhythm at that point. But I know rhythms very well.
Yeah.
I credit that to even my middle and high school music education.
I agree.
In school, and it's important.
It really is. Because I have played with lots of drummers who couldn't keep a beat steady for or never play a song at the same beat. If it's 120 beats a minute, mm-hmm. that'll vary greatly. It does with all live bands, but it can really vary. You can get them to start it too fast or start it too slow and finish it the whole opposite way. So,
and it's funny how you can do one thing in the practice room and then when you get in front of people,
it is. It's the nerves of it, I think. And then again, there it's like anything. Consistency is the key to anything. Just keep doing it. Do it. And it gets easier. People that are good have done it a lot. You think about the hours you have invested. A lot of hours to get to where you are.
Yeah.
So, what you got going on in the future?
I haven't really thought about it.
Well, as long as you're happy with today, it doesn't really matter, does it?
I don't guess it matters, but I guess we're just going to keep trucking.
Yeah.
As Black Coffee, and I'm going to keep doing my thing. I'm trying to branch out, maybe get some more piano nights somewhere.
Right, yeah.
Jamie feels about that. But
I think he's pretty lucky to have you in there. It's the only place that has it in this town.
Yeah.
So,
I think I've always thought of dueling pianos.
That would be cool. Oh, get Scott up here one night. I'll talk to Scott if you want to. That would be fun.
I've often thought if we could get something like that going around here,
you could.
That'd be cool.
You could. That would be really cool. That would be really cool. That'd probably draw pretty good too. You'd probably have a pretty good night down there if you did that.
Yeah.
Particularly if you changed them. One night you're the standard one every time, but you have different partners come over. Don't do it with the same ones.
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
Yeah. And I've had people approach me. I've had bar owners ask me about doing a dueling piano.
Yeah.
But, you talk about the shortage of keyboard players around here. I'm like, who am I going to call? I don't know anybody to call.
Yeah.
I've even talked about it with Cornelius.
Yeah.
He needs another instrument.
Well, we know who would win that one. But he would figure it out to a degree. But, there are people around who don't really play professionally that are pretty good piano players. Mm-hmm. You might even could run a not like an open mic, but an open piano challenge. Can you come and play piano with me tonight? There's not a well. Then that puts it more in a too much of a challenge. You could say, hey, come out and see if you can play piano as good as I can.
Yeah, I just like to play with other people.
Yeah, I can understand that. That would be really cool. It would be – that would be a good draw. I'd come watch, you know. Yeah. And I don't hardly ever go out anymore, so unless I, that's funny. People I know, if they see me out somewhere, they said, they must be paying you to be here if you're here after – you know, if you're here, like, after 7 o'clock, you must be getting paid to play, right? I mean, if you're here. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it is, you know. I mean, I don't go hear a lot of people anymore. I feel bad about it a lot. But I try to get out to see everybody that's on the show a couple times. So, I mean, but that's a stretch for me. It's hard for me to watch musicians. I've seen so much and played so much over the years, it's just hard for me to go out and sit there and listen anymore. Makes me want to play.
Makes you want to go up there and join
him. It does. And that's I think that people who aren't musicians don't understand mm-hmm. why it's hard for musicians to go watch others. I mean, it just makes you want to play.
Yeah.
You know? And people have quizzed me. My family's quizzed me about that over the years. Why don't you like to go hear other people play? Makes me want to play. Makes me uncomfortable. You know, particularly if I see people and they're doing well, it makes me want to go work on what I'm doing, you know.
You talk about a humbling experience. I went to see Herbie Hancock last summer.
Yeah.
83 years old and running across that stage and playing like he did when he was in his 20s.
Yeah. I mean, some of those people like that, they don't count. I mean, when we delve into jazz piano players, there are so many incredible ones that it makes you what guitar has done for rock and roll, piano has done for jazz. I mean it is the place. It is the real place where piano players are appreciated, as opposed to any other music. Everyone else thinks of it. Even if you go to the churches, if you go to bands, you know, it's a supporting instrument.
Yep.
Then you put it in a jazz format, and it is the music.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even horn players, I mean, they get their little lead, but it's It's the whole show in jazz.
And if Chris can't make it, my left hand is the bass for
that. Oh, yeah. So. This is funny. I don't know if you – did you know the late Art Mooney?
Yeah.
Art used to tape the lower end of keyboard players. He'd take duct tape and put it down there and say, these are my notes. and you know, what I'd always tell him when I played with him, I'd say, Art, you know – the guy that's doing this on the keyboard, he ain't going to overplay. Yeah, he'd get mad at me. You know? Yeah, but yeah, actually, Art played, I think, with Grayson when I played with Grayson. I think Grayson played every note he could get in every time. I mean, you know.
I never got to play with Art, but I knew him and had several conversations with him before.
I gave him the first really high-paying music job he ever had as a kid, and I was fascinated. Actually, I would tell you that Art is one of the he was probably a prodigy. Art could play bass as good as anyone I've ever known. Mm-hmm. Bless his heart. Sometimes he just didn't know when not to play. You know, but that's Art. He was a fabulous musician, you know. It's a big piece of music missing from Cleveland County, you know.
Exactly.
He did always have good bass tones. Yeah. He's played in a lot of bands around with a lot of people. So,
it's funny you're talking about not knowing when not to play. I find as I get older, I play less.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's
when
the
when you first start out, it's like, ooh, a blues scale, and you're just playing it all the time.
Yeah. I'll use a current example who, and there's a pedal steel player in this town, a guy named Silas Hamilton. Mm-hmm. Perfect pitch. He tuned his 20 strings in here with no tuner, and I asked him, I said, is this in tune? He said, yeah. I said, do you mind if I take my tuner and check it? He said, go right ahead. Sure enough, it was. Then he said, you know that lawnmower out there is in the key of C. But Silas is a fabulous player, and he'd been playing with the Dancing Fleas. So he wanted to play with more seasoned musicians, you know? And I told him, yeah, I could hook you up. And sure enough, he said, I can play any style of music. So I said, all right. He was 16 at the time. I said, all right, I'll give you a chance. You know, I'll let you see if you can really do it. And turned out he could. But there again, at 16, he played every note available in the songs, you know, he was fantastic. But now he is working as a professional, and somebody sit him down and said, this is when you play, this is when you don't, which sometimes we wouldn't do that because we just let him roll, you know. But then he got with somebody who ran a pretty tight band about that, you know, and goes, no, you can't play here. You know, you can vamp on it a little bit if you want to, play a little backup, but you can't play here. You know, you can't play, you know, you can play whatever you want, but you got to play it at the appropriate times. And now he's working with a lot of different musicians, and he's got it going on. But he played every note, you know, because he figured out, hey, I'm good at this. I know all these. You know, I'm going to play every one of them I can.
Yeah.
Every hot note. You can save some of those hot notes, man. Save it. You don't even have to play it. You can play it next week if you got one. You don't have to play it tonight, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, don't give away all your secrets in the first three songs.
Less is more.
So. Yeah, yeah. So, and I think that is, though, becoming a part of aging and playing more, you know, realizing that, I think. And that's what I've told everyone. When you're young, you'll work that out, though. If you stay with music, generally, you will work that out.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not always, and maybe everybody don't. But the most people who play music for a long time, they do learn to learn a little bit more how to work with a band, I'll put it that way, or work with, well, even by themselves, I mean. I'm sure you don't play every hot note you know on every song you play either.
No.
You know?
And sometimes, you know, when we take solos, sometimes I'll just bypass a solo. I'm like, I don't even need to solo on this.
Yeah.
We've said enough, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's good. I think that is, and I think there's times that you need it more than others. But, there again, it's learning to read a song, actually. I mean, you really have to learn, and you have to play, I think, a song several times or a lot to let it have a life of its own. You know? What else we need to know? This has been a pleasure having you in here.
I've enjoyed being here.
Good.
I don't know.
Well, that's good. I mean, you know, you've covered what you got going on. So.
I was thinking on the drive over here about everything I had done and stuff, and like musically and stuff, and you know, from playing at Ryan's at 14 to when I was graduating college, I played at the White House when I graduated.
Oh, really?
From UNC Asheville.
Yeah. That is too cool. Well, I'm glad you got that in here.
For so, the singers, yeah. The it was my senior year, and they always take a group of. The jazz choir singers up there to play for tours of the White House. So I got asked to accompany those singers up there for tours. And I'm sitting there playing this piano with, like, eagles that were the legs.
Oh, really?
There's pictures of this piano online. You can Google it.
It would be like a Steinway or something?
I don't even remember the brand.
Right.
There's pictures of, like, Nixon playing it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was back when Obama was president, and the dog, his dog,
oh, yeah,
came
yeah.
out with Secret Service, and he put his paws up on the piano.
On bench.
And I patted him on the head.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, that's a great story. You're just about to leave this out.
I know, right? But, no, that was a cool thing. I was just trying to think of some other things, music. And believe it or not, my biggest inspiration for playing piano was Floyd Kramer.
Floyd Kramer.
That, and, you know, I went the jazz route, and I love jazz music, but
I used to play with a guy here in town, and his brother used to, when Floyd would go out with a band, was his guitar player. He would hire Floyd to, Floyd would hire him to be his guitar player, but Floyd did most of his stuff by himself, but he had bands from different times, and Eddie was a part of that. So I used to play at a place called Bracket Cedar Park.
Mm-hmm.
And his brother was a drummer with me. And then I come walking in to practice one night up there. We practiced up there. And there was a guy playing the piano that was up there. And I thought, man, that's something special. That's different than regular piano players. It was Floyd Kramer. And he had a saxophone player with him named Boots Randolph.
Yeah.
And, man, they sit there and played. And they were with Eddie. They were... Eddie was with them, and they were staying at Eddie's house, and it was just like, I don't even think we practiced that night. I think we just sit there and listen to the two of them play, and they just played, and it was really cool. So I do have one Floyd Kramer experience.
That's cool. So, I never got to see him live, but my pawpaw, my grandfather worked at PPG, and he brought home a cassette tape when I was like 8 years old. And I'd never heard Floyd Kramer before.
Right.
I was like, how does he make a piano sound like
that? Yeah.
You know, so I never stopped till I taught myself. I mean, I've always played Last Date.
Sure.
On a gig.
I was going to ask you, is that in your repertoire?
Yeah, I always had to play Last Date as a little homage to Floyd.
Sure.
But
I mean, that's cool to know, though, too, you know. Because I started to ask you who were your piano influences.
Floyd Kramer, and then from the jazz world, Oscar Peterson.
Well, Oscar Peterson's a fine player.
I love Gene Harris as well.
There's a lot to choose from there, more so than say, in a country field or something. I mean, you know, there's a ton of them there. But those are good ones. Those are all good ones. Totally different players, too, all three of them.
Yeah. I just like good music. That's all I seek to do is to play good music. I don't care if it's jazz, country, rock, whatever.
Yeah, it's all music, and that's the beautiful part of it. You know, it's all. I'm a big. People find this funny with me a lot of times, but I am both a secular and non-secular music fan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean. Part of my musical heritage was sitting on the porch with my grandmother playing gospel tunes, you know, which was it was fun for me. She was a real fine piano player, and it was fun, you know. And she was a harmonica player, and I've spent a large portion of my life as a harmonica player. And I started with her, but it also started with me being stuck with a radio station that the only radio station I could get was a blues station. So I wanted to be as a kid, I wanted to be a blues harmonica player. That was my whole ambition. I achieved that.
Yeah.
It's not really a high expectation in life, but, you know.
Yeah. How many blues harmonica players are around here?
Oh, me?
Exactly.
and I'm lucky. I still get to work. I have two jobs where pretty much my whole part of the show is nothing but a harmonica player. I mean, I play harmonica in the other things I do around here too, but it's not, you know, it's a half a dozen songs where if I play with Luke Kaiser or Phil Ruff, I'm a totally a harmonica player. So I feel really lucky to get to do that. In fact, the only other person I know who gets to do that is a guy out of South Carolina called Freddie Vanderfor. And Freddie is a really fine harmonica player, too. So, I feel blessed to get to do that, you know. And I've done it. There's pictures of me as kids and even my own kids with harmonicas. So, you know.
You have, like, the jacket that's got all in you.
No, I have had, though. I will have to say that. And I will have to say that I am no, everybody always asks me, I guess you love John Popper. I do not. John Popper ever plays. You know, he's not one of my favorites.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but this has been fun. Thank you for coming to do it.
Thanks for having me, man.
Oh, man. Pleasure. Thank you. That's just a